Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Our theme this year as Watoto Church is Faith Over Fear. That is our theme this year. I really believe with all of my heart that Jesus wants us to be a people who are living by faith every day. The Apostle Paul said, it is no longer I that lives, but it is Christ that lives in me. And then he said that this life I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God. God wants you and I, my friend, to live by faith every day. Faith is about completely trusting in Jesus, completely depending on Jesus concerning every detail of your life. Faith produces courage. It produces optimism. Faith produces in us the audacity to dare to take God at His word. Faith also produces within us expectation, a confidence that God will respond to those whose faith and whose trust is in Him. One of the greatest marks of a life of faith is a life of prayer. Prayer is always one of the key marks of someone who lives by faith in Jesus. Listen, my friend, if you're going to be a man and woman of faith, you have to be a man and woman of prayer. Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer. In other words, those who are part of the household of God, those who are born again, those who have submitted their lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible calls us to be men and women of prayer. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer in a new series that we are calling Ask. In this series, we're going to be talking about what prayer really is. We're going to be talking about prayer and fasting. We'll also be talking about what the Bible has to say about an answered prayer. Our theme text will be taken from Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 10. These are the words of Jesus, and this is what he said. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I really believe that over the next 3 weeks, if we really lean in, we're going to grow in our prayer walk. I believe that we're going to develop a passion for prayer so that our relationship with Jesus will be taken to the next level. When you look throughout the Bibles, all our heroes and our heroines in the faith were men and women of prayer. Daniel, Moses, Esther, all people of prayer. Apostle Paul was a man of prayer. And when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he wrote these words. He said to them, pray continually. What Paul was encouraging the believers to do was to live a life of prayer. Prayer was to become a habit. It was to become their lifestyle. You see, prayer is critical when it comes to following Jesus, living for Jesus. Prayer is that place where you depend on God and Jesus to give you the power to live for Him every day. Jesus was the greatest model of what it meant to live a life of prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Prayer was a lifestyle for Jesus. Listen, as a follower of Jesus, you must be like your master Jesus Christ. You and I must be men and women of prayer. We must be men and women of prayer. When Jesus returned to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit upon the believers who were waiting in the upper room, that then spread out to become the early church. Those men and women were men and women of prayer. They faced incredible persecution because they had chosen to follow Jesus. But though they were persecuted, they remained persistent in prayer. They depended on God in prayer. So what is prayer, you may ask? I love this definition. There are many, but I love this definition by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. That they define it this way. They say, prayer is a spiritual communication between man and God, a two-way relationship in which man should not only talk to God, but also listen to Him. I love that. The fact that it is spiritual communication, it is It is you and I communicating with God, and we spend time with Him. And the goal is to build a relationship that is intimate, that it profoundly affects every inch of our being. This is how Jesus lived His life. He was constantly in communication with His Father. No wonder He was spiritually strong. No wonder His life had incredible impact on those around Him. He made prayer a habit. It was His culture to withdraw from people and go to a lonely place and spend time with His Father in prayer. Can I encourage you, my friend, build prayer as a habit into your life. Live a life of prayer, constant communication with our Heavenly Father. Build a relationship with Him. It's not about what we can get from Him. It's about who we become when we spend time with Him. It's about building a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus found pleasure in His times of prayer. And His disciples constantly watched Him. They realized that he spent time with God. Early in the morning, He was with God. And when He came from that place and went into the community, He had incredible impact with God. Those who spend time with the Father are going to have impact in the community. Jesus spent His life that when His disciples closely watched Him, the Bible records for us in Luke chapter 11, that the disciples then came to Jesus and they asked Him, "Teach us how to pray." Because they had noticed something unique, something beautiful, something special, they came to Him and said, "Teach us how to pray." Now, it's not because there was no prayer in those days. People were praying. Religious leaders were praying. People were in the synagogue praying. But the Bible tells us these people made it an issue of a show to show how holy and how religious they were. They stood in public places and they said and recited these loud prayers. But Jesus stood saying, "No, you rather go to a secret place and connect with your Heavenly Father." He was teaching the people in that day to be people of prayer who wanted to develop a relationship with God. I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 9 to 13. So what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples say, "Teach us how to pray," Jesus taught them to pray this way. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, teaches us not just what to pray, but why we should pray. You will notice Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray." Listen, friends, you and I should live lives of prayer. Prayer is not a suggestion. Prayer is not optional for you, my friend. If you're going to truly walk with God, if you're truly going to get to know God, you must be a man and woman of prayer. And so Jesus begins to share with them a model of prayer that addresses some key issues that I believe you and I can learn a lot from today. In verse 9, Jesus starts by saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This was a game changer for the disciples and for anyone that would take on this model of prayer, because Jesus was saying, "When you pray, pray, Our Father." That was a game changer. You see, the Jews worshipped God as a God who was so high, so far. They didn't consider that they would have an intimate, personal relationship with God. And in many ways, some of us relate with God that way. We don't see Him as Father. We approach Him as a God and say, God, if only. And God is saying, "No, I actually want you to know me as your Father. I'm available to you." The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans 8 that the spirit that we've received is a spirit of adoption. You and I have been adopted into the family of God, and we can call Him Abba, Father. He's not a God so high that you cannot get to know Him. You can know Him intimately and passionately. And personally, you can build a relationship with Him. God wants you to have a relationship with Him, my friend. And so Jesus teaches us to pray because Jesus had a personal relationship with the Father. He said, "Listen, when you pray, pray, Our Father." And He's a good, good Father who loves to hear you pour out your heart in prayer. But then he teaches, he said, hallowed be your name. In other words, we honor your name. We revere your name. You see, when we come before God in prayer, he is no ordinary God. He is not an idol. He is the God above every God. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the one who made the heavens and the earth. He is our God, the one who made you and knit you in your mother's womb. When you come before him in prayer, come with reverence in your heart. Purpose that your desire is to bring him glory and honor. And when you pray, give him the glory. Give him the honor. Ascribe greatness to him when you pray. Revere him, honor him. Treat him as one who is worthy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then Jesus went on in verse 10. He said, we are to pray this way, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. Your kingdom come. You know, Jesus taught a lot about the kingdom. Many times you read in scripture, Jesus told parables. He said, the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. And he was trying to help people understand through these parables what the kingdom of God is like. He taught us to pray, your kingdom come. The kingdom of God is about God's rule. It's about God's dominion. God wants to dominate the earth. You and I both know that when God dominates a place, good things begin to happen in that place. And so Jesus is teaching us to pray this way. Whenever you pray, may you pray that God will dominate that place where you are. God wants to dominate your family. He wants to dominate your place of work. God wants to dominate your university. God wants to dominate your secondary school. God wants to dominate your community. God wants to dominate the city of Kampala and the nation of Uganda. Because wherever God's kingdom is, then his will shall be done. And when we walk according to the will of God, that which pleases God, we can be guaranteed that we will see his blessing. Your kingdom come. How does the kingdom of God come? Number one, through his people. Through his people. You are on kingdom assignment. Can you help me turn to your neighbor? Tell them you're on a kingdom business right here. And prayer helps remind us that we're on kingdom business. So in your family, in your place of work, in your school, wherever God sends you, you go as someone who brings the kingdom of God. The way we love to say it here at Watoto Church is this way, that our mandate is to take Jesus into the core of community. What we want to bring to our community is the culture and the character of Christ. We're here to bring kingdom culture. So one of the prayers you and I must learn to pray on a daily, when you kneel, don't just ask God for what you do. By all means, pour out your heart to him. But listen, one of the prayers you and I must learn to pray is this. God, let your kingdom come in Kampala City. God, let your kingdom come in my community. Some of our families are dominated by witchcraft and all kinds of evil and brokenness and dysfunction. One of the prayers you need to begin to pray for your family. God, let your kingdom come in my family. Because where the kingdom of God is, the will of God will be done. And then we begin to see the blessing of God. Why? On earth as it is in heaven. Earth should become a reflection of how heaven operates. Listen, my friend, is your family functioning the way heaven operates? Is there forgiveness? Is there justice? Is there purity? Is there love? Is there patience? Is there kindness? We need to begin to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He goes on in verse 11. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. These are key things that you and I must learn to pray and to desire to see. Verse 11, he says, give us today our daily bread. One of the things I really love about our Heavenly Father is that he loves to meet us at our point of need. Amen. God delights in providing for you. Listen, my friend, nothing is impossible for God. There is no need that God cannot meet. And you know, sometimes as we go through lives, we often have things that we need and they bring fear. They bring anxiety into our lives. We begin to worry, will I be able to pay my rent? Will I be able to pay my child's school fees? Will I be able to find food? Am I going to find a job? Will my husband stay? Is my wife leaving me with the kids? This job, will I get it? Will this business work? And we begin to worry. We begin to get afraid. But listen, my friends, I want to encourage you today. You have a good Father in heaven who wants to meet you at your point of need. He delights in providing for you. And so Jesus teaches us to pray, give us today our daily bread. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be anxious. Trust God and let him meet you at your point of need. Philippians chapter 4 verse 67 puts it this way. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Listen, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Jesus Christ. We begin to find peace when God becomes our source. When you depend on that money that you receive every month, that salary, and you make your salary your source, you will have anxiety every day of your life. Because money cannot be your source, friends. You know, that relationship you have in your life cannot satisfy you. It will never. The only one that can truly satisfy is Jesus. Make him your source. Don't be worried. Put your faith in Jesus. This is the year of faith over fear. And I promise you, as we depend on God in prayer and present our needs, we can be assured he doesn't only hear prayer, he answers prayer. A couple of weeks ago, my family and I were getting ready to move house. We wanted to shift. And we found a house. But in just a matter of days, the person whose house we were set to enter sent us back the money that we had paid as a deposit. He wasn't picking our phone calls. We were so confused. We were like, okay, we were supposed to move. And it was within my time of leave. So I wanted to do it just before I come back to serve. And I became anxious. I said, oh God, so are we going to find a place? I became worried. And I remember, do you know what? God is able to provide. So my wife and I, we began to believe God. And we took the matter to God in prayer. And we prayed. Honestly, we prayed. We asked God, God, may you help us find a home. And may the owner of the home be a church member. Father, we pray that when she sees us, or when he sees us, may they say, hey, Pastor Brian, and may they cut the amount of money so we can pay only the amount of money we need. Oh, we prayed. We asked God. And so we connected with a broker who took us to a number of houses. Eventually, we went to this house, and as soon as we drove onto the property, we felt, this is the house. The next day, we were set to meet the house owner. And so we went to meet the house owner. And as soon as we showed up, it was about 5:30 in the evening, we showed up, and the lady said, hey, Pastor Brian, I've cut the money. I didn't know it was you. We're going to do this. It's absolutely amazing what God can do. And you know what? I am not special. What God has done for me, God will do for you too, in Jesus' name. Jesus then taught us to continue to pray. Verse 12, a really important thing he teaches us. He says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. In other translations, it says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. This is a key issue. Listen, my friend, God is interested and is very passionate about your relationship with him. God is so committed to you, my friend. God loves you with a passion. And one of the things that separates you and God is sin. Sin is anything we do that does not please God. And when we live a life of sin, it separates us from God. It hinders our relationship with God. See, the goal of prayer is for you to stay connected to the Father, to build a relationship with him, so that your heart can beat like his heart, so that you think his thoughts, so that you live by the principles and values that please him. And sin takes that away. It steals that. It hinders that. It breaks that. It destroys that relationship. And God, and Jesus is teaching us that when we approach God the Father, if there is anything in our lives that does not please God, let us ask God to forgive us. Listen, don't be comfortable in your sin. It will destroy your relationship with God. God doesn't want sin to destroy your relationship with him. And so Jesus asks us, listen, every single one of us, we fail. We sin. But let us be humble, approach God and say, God, will you forgive me? But God is also passionate about your relationship with other people. And so Jesus teaches us to pray. He says, forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our debt as we have also forgiven our debtors. Listen, my friend. If you do not forgive those who hurt you, if you do not forgive those who have failed you, God will never forgive you. Maybe the person that hurt you is a family member. Maybe it's a church leader. Maybe it's someone in your community. Maybe it's someone at your place of work. It could be your spouse. It could be a child. It could be a friend. Someone broke your heart. They did something that hurt you. Listen, if you do not extend mercy to them, God will not forgive you. Hear me. It's time to let it go. You can lift up your hands. You can pray. You can clap as loud as you can. But it's all for nothing. Because we have received mercy from God. Because we have been forgiven, we must forgive. The Bible says you and I have received the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, reconciliation with God, but also reconciliation with one another. The Bible teaches us that the summation of the law and everything that the prophets have written is this. Jesus said, love the Lord your God, but also love your neighbor as you love yourself. Listen, if you do not forgive the people that have hurt you, God will not forgive you. When it comes to the issue of offerings, Jesus taught that if you have an issue with your brother, leave that gift and first sort out the issue so that you can give an offering that is acceptable before the Lord. If you do not forgive, every offering you give is for nothing. Every sale that you host in your home is for nothing. Every prayer you pray is for nothing. Why? Because you hold a grudge against your brother. God is not only passionate about his relationship with you, he's passionate about how you relate with other people. May we walk in forgiveness. May we get rid of all bitterness, of all anger. Let's get it out of our system. Why? We want to build a relationship with our Heavenly Father that not only has great impact on us, but a great impact on those around us. Jesus then landed with these words. Verse 13, teaching us to pray. Another key thing that you and I must always remember in prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus had come face to face with Satan. He knew who Satan was, the deceiver, the liar, the devil. And Jesus was helping us understand, listen, you and I have an enemy. There is one who wants to destroy our lives. His name is Satan. And Jesus was saying, listen, you are weak. You will fail. Then there'll be moments of temptation where the opportunity for you to fail is present and you could take it. And Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to pray for strength and for grace from God for you to be able to overcome temptation daily. Because Satan is moving to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to bring you down, my friend. And he's going to put temptation in your way. That temptation could be money. That temptation could be sex. That temptation could be power. Pride. Some of us, the temptation is we can use our words as verbal artillery to kill everyone in our way. You can't hold back your tongue. You got to respond. And maybe that's your temptation. Maybe you've been exposed to things that may cause you to sin. I don't know, things you watch, things you hear, things you listen to. And Jesus is saying, listen, I don't want you to fail. I want you to be overcomers. I want you to have victory over the enemy. Remember Matthew chapter 4? The enemy came against Jesus in the wilderness. Three times Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written, and he overcome the enemy by the word. Friends, Jesus is asking us to remember that we're going to have moments of weakness. But in those moments, you and I don't have to give in. When we get down on our knees in prayer, whether it is at the beginning of the day or whether it is at the end of the day or whether it is in the middle of the day, whenever you set off time to spend with God, he's saying constantly pray that you'll not fall into temptation, but that God will give you his grace to overcome temptation. And I want to encourage you, my friend, the Holy Spirit is available to us to help us overcome temptation. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, he said, but I say, and this is the wisdom that we can glean here today, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. In other words, make this a pattern of life, yield to the Holy Spirit, depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Be responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. He says, when you do this, then you will certainly not gratify or give in or satisfy the cravings and desires of the flesh. Depend on the Holy Spirit, who will give you the grace to say no to wickedness and to say yes to righteousness. Our God is so good that even in moments of temptation, he gives us a way out. First Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 teaches us this: no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Praise God. Listen, in every moment you find yourself in temptation, never lie to yourself that you don't have a way out. You can say no to wickedness and you can say yes to Jesus. Listen, don't find yourself locked up in a room with your boyfriend and you begin to pray, lead me into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Get out of that place. Sometimes you just have to make a choice to get out of that room. That person might walk in and you may feel the desire to respond. Don't respond. Walk out of that room. Maybe sometimes you need to pick up the phone and talk to someone so that you don't do that thing that you would do that is not right before God. Maybe it means that there are relationships you have to cut off, my friend, so that you can walk before God in purity. What is it that you have to do? God wants to have a relationship with you, a relationship of holiness and purity. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Make it a matter of prayer every day. Jesus wants you and I to be men and women of prayer. And in this year of faith over fear, come on, let's live lives of prayer. Let prayer be our lifestyle. Let's depend on God. I promise you, when we live that way, our best days will not be behind us. Our best days will be ahead of us in Jesus' name. Will you give him thanks for his word today?
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.